Okay, good evening, everybody. Nice to see you. Thank you for joining us this evening. I wanted to share with you a story that happened to me this week, and that's the basis of my shiur. So somebody in the neighborhood called me up and said, Rabbi Orlian, I'm having an event in my backyard in August, and I want to maximize the space in my backyard. And we have a very nice, beautiful backyard, but the problem is that there is a fruit tree, there's a cherry tree, that there are actually a number of fruit trees, but the two at hand are two cherry trees that are a little bit in the way in the open area of the backyard, and I want to know if I might be able to cut them down. So the situation was, one cherry tree was old, rotten, and didn't really give fruit anymore. The other one was old and almost rotten and gives a little bit of fruit. It happens to be the squirrels get to the fruit before you and I can, but nevertheless, there are fruit on one. The other one had basically, you know, two or three cherries a season and is basically not really so productive. So the question was, can this person in our neighborhood cut down those cherry trees in order to allow more area for his event, whether he puts up a tent or he wants to put tables there? Will he be able to cut down those cherry trees because he could use the space? So this question is, on one hand, a question of a shaila v'daraisa, which we'll see in a moment. But besides the shaila v'daraisa, if it's mutar or asa, there's going to be a very significant other component to this shir that's very unusual, that's unique to this mitzvah of cutting down cherry trees that we'll see in a moment. So allow me, if I may, welcome doctor from the ER and Mr. Davies and everybody, and Ben, who just joined us. I'm going to share my screen and share with you the sources. And we'll start with the Pasuk in Dvarim. The Pasuk in Dvarim is the context where the Torah presents this mitzvah. It's a very, very unusual, and there actually might be some important things that we're going to learn from it. But the Torah doesn't just say, don't chop down fruit trees. The Torah doesn't just say, it's us who chop down fruit trees. The Torah says that if you'll be in besieging a city, look at the Pasuk in Dvarim, Kisatzur al ir yomim rabim, lilachem ala tafsa, you want to capture and conquer a city and you lay it in siege, so lo sashchis es etza, do not destroy its trees. Obviously, the word that you see that you're familiar with is baltashchis. Baltashchis is, of course, learned from this very pasuk, from this very iser daraisa, to not chop down fruit trees, is where we learn the source of baltashchis extending to many other areas. But the primary area is not by food or asparagus or broccoli that you tell your kids they have to eat, otherwise it's baltashchis, but it's actually chopping down fruit trees, and everything else is just an extension from this mitzvah. So the pasuk continues, you can't destroy those trees to lindoach alav garzen, to bear an axe upon it. Rather, you should eat from those fruit trees, don't cut it down. And then the very unusual words, whatever they might mean, ki ha'adam eitz asada, and Torah says don't cut down the fruit trees. Rather, in case you're wondering, well, how are you going to ever have wood? The Torah answers, rak eitz asher teda ki lo eitz machalhu. If there's a tree that you know that does not give off fruit, that's the one that you should destroy. Very interesting language that the Torah says. Look at that beginning of the pasuk. A tree that you know does not have fruit. It doesn't just say a tree that doesn't have fruit. It's a tree that you know does not have fruit, which is interesting. That you know that it doesn't have fruit, then that kind of tree you could cut down. Sounds like you have to have a yediyah brura, in order to have the heter to cut down a non-fruit tree. You have to definitively know that it doesn't have fruit. That's what the pasuk sounds like. And that tree that does not have fruit, that's the kind of tree that you should use when you build your siege, whatever you need for your siege. You need to build battering rams, put some kind of obstruction out of wood, some kind of blockages out of wood. You need to build, what's that word, the ramp that they would build up to the side of the wall? There's a word for that. I don't remember the word. Something better. The special word for the ramp that they build up against the body of the wall. Not rampart. That's the top of the wall. Anyone remember the word, the very specific word? Maybe it's siege rakes. I think there's a specified word. Okay, if anyone finds it, you'll let me know. So what's the reason? Just if we look at Tam HaMitzvah for a minute, what's the reason you're not allowed to chop down a fruit tree? So Rashi says something very unusual. Rashi says that the Torah hints to the reason. Because the Torah says when you shouldn't chop down the trees, it says, Ki ha'adam eitz ha'sadeh. Is the tree a person? So Rashi understands it to mean the following. I understand you're conquering a city. You have an enemy. You want to destroy your enemies. You want to vanquish your foes. Kill them. I understand that. But what did the tree do to you? Why should you kill the trees? Is there any reason that you have to inflict pain and suffering upon the trees? What's there to do about that? Lama Tashki Sana, why should you do it? It's just wasteful. I understand you want to destroy people, enemies, foes. Go ahead. But why trees? That's what the Rashi understands, which is an interesting reason. The Ramban, which I mentioned in a different shir this week, at 6:15, earlier this week, I pointed out that the Ramban is a very different understanding why you're not allowed to cut down true trees. You know what he says? He says, because you should anticipate that you will conquer that city. And when you conquer that city, guess who's going to move into that city? It's going to be you moving into that city. And if you're going to move into that city, you're going to want fruit trees there. So now, as you are on the cusp of vanquishing the city, as you are on the threshold of conquering the city, if you're going to right now destroy all the fruit trees, well, next week you're going to take over the city, or next month you'll take over the city, and you're not going to have any fruit trees there to eat from. So therefore, when you are fighting against the city and laying siege on the city, don't chop down the fruit trees, because it's for your own betterment, it's for your own good, not to cut down the fruit trees. That's an interesting perspective. If you go with that explanation of the Ramban, you might think that it only applies in Eretz Yisrael, where you're going to conquer. But you could think that in cities that you are just fighting against, but you're not necessarily planning on conquering and taking over and inhabiting, maybe you don't have the need to leave the trees in. There's no issur to avoid cutting down the fruit trees. But that's a different question. The halacha is that even in Chutz La'aretz, we are not allowed to cut down these fruit trees. So this halacha, again, the Ramban maybe doesn't sound like that, but the simple understanding is that this issur d'oraisa, it is one of the 613 mitzvahs. An issur d'oraisa to cut down fruit trees applies in all times of history and in all locations in the world. That's what the Sefer HaChinuch tells us. I don't have it on the source sheet, but that is the case. Now, let's look at what are the parameters, what makes a fruit tree a fruit tree. Says the Gemara Bava Kamma, Amar Rav, very short and to the point, one line. Dikla, if you have a dekel, a palm tree, a date tree, dikaton kava, that has a kav volume of fruit that is produced each year, asilu miktitze. So how much is that? So I did the math for you, I looked it up, and a kav is 48 kazesim, 24 beitzas. So let's think for a second. Let's say you have an olive tree. So how many olives would have to grow on that tree per year to be considered a fruit tree that is a bona fide fruit-producing tree and it's us to cut down? Well, I guess 48, right? A kazayas is a zayas, so 48 kazayases. So this fellow, I told this to the fellow after we looked it up, I said, well, mister, you have these two fruit trees that we spoke about. One of them is, I told you, almost dead and has very poor production. Do you think you get 48 kazayasim? How many cherries go in a kazayas? Two cherries in a kazayas? Maybe three cherries in a kazayas. So does this tree produce 96 cherries over a season? So the fellow told me, you know what? This tree that we're talking of does not produce 48, or does not, definitely doesn't produce 48, or certainly not 96 cherries over the course of a year. Just a handful, maybe two, three, four, five, no more than that. So I said, okay. So the tree that you're asking about is a dikla that is not tan kava, that does not have a kav of fruit production on it, and therefore it sounds like you might be able to cut it down. In other words, if it doesn't have a kav of fruit, 48 kazesim of fruit per year as its yearly yield, then it's not considered a fruit tree. And it's in the other category where the Torah says explicitly, by a non-fruit tree, look at the screen, oh, so sashchis, you can destroy those non-fruit trees. The Torah says explicitly, go ahead and destroy it if it's not a fruit tree. Now, the Gemara goes ahead and delves in a little bit further into exactly how much fruit it could or shouldn't have. I made a b'shakel earlier, so I'm not going to make a bracha. The Gemara says, well, I hear what you're saying about a palm tree, that you need to have a kav, which is 48 kazesim. What about an olive tree? Kamiyeh bezayis v'lo yikatzitzo. Well, I assume the point is that a zayis is a more expensive fruit than a date, probably because you make olive oil out of it, so maybe it's just a more precious commodity. So therefore, maybe it's going to have a smaller quantity to be considered a fruit, valuable fruit tree that we don't want, Hashem doesn't want us to cut down. Says the Torah, says the Gemara, rova. Rashi explains rova hakav. Even a quarter of a kav, which is 12 kazesim. The Gemara says, oh, you see that it's only 12 kazesim, not a kav, which is 48 kazesim. The Gemara says, no, don't be bothered. These are two different apples. These are apples and oranges. Or, better yet, dates and olives. Shiny zeisim dechashivi. Excuse me. Since zeisim are more chashiv fruit, therefore they have a smaller quantity, even 12 zayises, 12, yeah, a quarter of a kav is 12 zayises, 12 olives, would already be a sufficient yield to make the tree valuable enough to be considered a fruit tree. If we stopped here, the answer to our question would basically be answered. One cherry tree that he said does not produce them efficiently, does not produce this quantity, you could chop down. And the other cherry tree, which he said is a little bit more productive, but also not a great tree, he said that one indeed might be able to produce 48 kazesim, 100 cherries on it, between the entire, breadth and width of the tree, it might produce about 100 cherries, and therefore that one would not be an option to cut down. So that is the first half of the sugya. The next line, however, is a frightening line, and this is the line that we really are going to have to dig to the bottom of to see how we could accommodate or not accommodate. When you look at halacha, where usually halacha is very precise, dry, it's mutter if it's aser. If it's mutter, do it. If it's aser, don't do it. If there's machlokas, okay, it's machlokas, it's on a daraisa, we'll be machmer. Machlokas on a darabana, maybe we'll be mekel. You want to be really frum, okay, you'll be choshesh for all the shitas. But if something's mutter, it's mutter. There's no reason to be machmer in something that's mutter. That's just creating your own religion. Nevertheless, look at the next line. Comes Rabbi Chanina and he says a very frightening line. He says, I have a son named Shivchis. My son Shivchis, as we'll see later, was probably a big tzaddik. Was probably the kind of guy who did everything right. Except one thing. Lo shachiv shivchis bri, my dear son Shivchis didn't die only because of one reason. El dekatz te'enasa belozmana. He cut down a fig tree before its time, while it was still giving fruit. Stop there. That line is telling us that there is not only an isur d'oraisa to cut down a fruit tree, but there's also what we call a sakana involved. A sakana to cut down fruit trees. A sakana that he says his son died because he cut down a fruit tree. And we're going to have to discuss what was the exact case that he cut it down and died because of cutting that fruit tree, which is a frightening thing. A person cuts down a fruit tree and because of that the person dies, Rachmana Litzlan. And also, if you look at the language of Rabbi Chanina, you see a very clear indication that he wasn't a bad guy. He wasn't a bad boy. He was a tzaddik. Lo shachir shuchas bri ella. The only thing that he did wrong, sounds like he was a tzaddik, and he was perfect or near perfect in almost every area of Judaism, of Ben Adam HaChaver, Ben Adam HaKum, Ella, one thing, one weakness that he had, dekatz te'enasa below zimna, because he cut down a tree when he shouldn't have, and that was his undoing, that was what caused him to die. That's a frightening thing. And we're going to have to talk about that issue, in addition to the Isser Daraisa, whether the Isser Daraisa appears or not. But we're going to come back to this point a little bit later. But we have to get one or two more parameters of when is it appropriate to cut down trees and when is it not appropriate. So the first parameter that we saw was that it has to be a fruit tree with a sufficient amount of fruit, which is a kav, 48 zeisim. Next point, another kula in the halachas. What happens if the gain by cutting it down is more than the loss by losing the fruit? In other words, let's say right now, you know what's in high demand? Plexiglass. Did you know that? Do you know that the price of plexiglass has jumped in the past 2 months? Because now, because of Corona, all the businesses are trying to create plexiglass protections. All the classrooms in school districts are trying to build plexiglass guards around students' faces. All the cashiers in stores have plexiglass guards around their faces. Shuls are putting plexiglass between for the people getting aliyahs, between the Baal Kori and the Ola. And therefore, plexiglass has skyrocketed. Now, let's say you have, for whatever reason, the wood industry becomes a valuable commodity. And let's say wood goes up in price. So let's say I have a few dollars of cherries that grow on my tree every year, but the price of wood, it's a big tree that doesn't produce so much fruit, and the price of wood is incredibly high. So maybe the value of the wood itself might outshadow the value of the fruits that may grow in my tree. Comes Ravina and says, then you do have permission to cut down the fruit tree. Vim hayam u'ula b'damim, mutter. Rashi explains, dam of yikar in the binyan, the value of the tree for construction, for wood use, is yosem yishevach perosev, is even more than the value of the fruit for consumption, for eating. That is another parameter. And now we're going to see yet a third parameter of when you're allowed to cut down fruit trees. And here the Gemara is going to bring two stories. The first story is a case of Shmuel. Shmuel owned a field or fields, and he had an aris, he had a sharecropper. The sharecropper brings Shmuel some dates from the field, and Shmuel tastes it and says, "Hey, you know what? It tastes a little bit like wine. Why do these dates have a wine taste?" And the sharecropper says, "Well, they grow among the vines." And Shmuel says, "That's not good. I don't like this taste of the mixed fruit. Why don't you?" I'm not sure which way he says. I think he says, "Why don't you cut down those vines?" Or maybe he's saying, "Cut down those fruit trees so it doesn't ruin the vines." One or the other. I don't remember which. And therefore, Shmuel says, "Tomorrow I want you to bring me the roots of the tree that you cut down, even though it's a fruit tree, because I don't want it to ruin the flavor of the other fruits next to it." What do you see from that story? You see from that story that if you have a fruit tree that's causing damage to that which surrounds it, including the fruit that are surrounding it, then it is permitted to cut that fruit tree down. We see that same point in the next Gemara. Rav Chista Chaza Tale Begufne. He saw some kind of fruit tree in the middle of the vineyard. Amar Lelarisi says to sharecropper, "Akrinhu, pull it out, uproot it." You know why? Because from the look of Rashi explains what Rav Chista's comment is. If I let my grapes grow better, I will have enough land to buy. I will have money to buy more land and more palm trees if I want. However, if it would be the opposite, if I let the palm trees grow, I'm not going to be able to make any much money from those palm trees to be able to buy land for a vineyard. In other words, Rav Chista is saying, if it's going to cause damage, financial damage, you're allowed to cut it off. So what did we see to this evening? So we said that if there's less than a certain amount of fruit, you're allowed to cut it down. We said that if the value of the wood outshadows the production of fruit, you're allowed to cut it down. We saw that if the tree causes damage, you're allowed to cut it down. So here, I think we have a very good indication to a shaila that my family had a few years ago. Our house in Flatbush, my mother's on the line right now, and she remembers that about 20, maybe it was 30 years ago, we had a beautiful, 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 gigantic cherry tree, really gigantic cherry tree that was very, very productive, that yielded a lot, which had a lot of cherries on it in Flatbush. And it was very tall. It was as high as the top of our three-story house. And it had three trunks. And one day, I think it was a hurricane about 30 years ago, one of the three trunks fell down. I think it broke part of my neighbor's garage or our garage. I don't remember which direction it fell in. It caused some damage to the garage. And then another time, one of the other three trunks fell, and Baruch Hashem didn't hit anything. And there was one gigantic trunk left. Again, it goes up probably 40 feet high. And it was a cherry tree that did have a lot of fruit. But my parents realized that that tree, if it lands in the wrong direction, could cause $20,000 worth of damage to a roof, a neighbor's roof or our roof. It could break through a wall. It could hit somebody, chas v'shalom. And therefore, we had that tree removed. Now, that's clearly totally fine based on this heter that the Gemara just told us, that if you see that if it's going to damage, if it's damaging, you know, the Gemara is talking about even a little bit of damage is enough to warrant cutting down a fruit tree. Certainly, the potential for a significant damage would certainly warrant. What remains to discuss, though, is that one very frightening line where Rav Chanina said that my son Shivchis died because he cut down this fruit tree. That's still something that we're going to have to deal with. And we'll come back to that point. So we basically went through the different parameters in Shas, and now we're going to move forward into the Rishonim, and then we'll finish with two Achronim, talking about very specific applications of these fundamentals that we just learned. So the Rush in Bava Kamma tells us, again, clarifies one of these parameters that you might wonder. So let's say we have a situation where the Gemara told us, I'm sorry, let's back up. The Gemara told us that if you want to use the wood from the tree and the wood is more valuable than the fruit, you're allowed to chop down the fruit tree. What happens if you don't want to use the wood, but you just need the location where the tree is located? If you notice, that was really what we started our shiur with. That was the shiloh that came to me last week. Can I cut down this fruit tree because it's in my way? Now, if we look at the Gemara is talking about damage. There's no damage in this guy's backyard. The Gemara talked about a case where the fruit tree doesn't give enough fruit. Well, that might be the case, depending on which one tree yes, one tree no. The Gemara talked about a case where you don't have where the wood is worth more, but we're not wondering about the value of the wood. I just want the space where the tree is located. The Gemara never addressed that. So the Rush extends the Gemara that we just learned to talk even about the case that you and I are discussing, the shiloh that I got this week. I just want the space. Says the Rush, Kol Ilan, Lefi Chashivuso, V'gefen D'tan, Kol Du Oso L'kutz Afayin. He says every tree is according to its own value. Meaning, if it's a valuable tree, you have to have more of a reason to cut something down. If something is less of a value, then it has less of a reason to cut it down. But he learns it from the fact that the Gemara has a different value, a different quantity, a different volume. You remember we started off, the Gemara said that if you have a date tree, you have to have a full kav of fruit to be considered a fruit-bearing tree. Whereas if you had an olive tree, only 12, a rova hakav is enough to make it considered a fruit-bearing tree. What do you see? You see that we look at value. We look at value. Look at what the Rush concludes. V'chein, I have it in bold and underlined. V'chein im hoya tzarch l'mekomo, also nira d'mutter. It's not an explicit Gemara. This is the Rush's suggestion and the Rush's extension of the heterim of the Gemara, that so too, if you need the location, that's also presumably going to be mutter. Well, what's considered that I need the location? Does that mean that my kid really loves hockey, and if I don't cut down this tree, he's not going to have a good hockey court? Or does it mean that, well, hockey, you play on a hard surface, and this is a grassy area, so my kid wants to play football, kickball, and he can't get a good kickball surface or soccer surface because there's a tree in the way? Or does it mean that I want to extend my house to build a wing because I had my 13th child and we only have 4 bedrooms and I have to build another bedroom or two because otherwise you just don't have room to live? Or does it mean that, hey, I want to redo my kitchen and I want to, push out the porch and the patio in the back of my kitchen and I'd love to have a bigger kitchen and a bigger patio and I'm not going to be able to have my kitchen as big as I want if I don't knock down the tree? Or I'm not going to be able to have the patio for my sukkah if I don't knock down the tree. So these are all different levels of need. It's not like I need to extend my kitchen. It's not that I need to have a patio. Maybe I need to have another bedroom if I have 13 kids. What are the parameters? What about a shul? Oh, for a mitzvah, is that going to be different? Well, this is a question that the Taz was asked in Yoredeya. The Taz brings the following. The Taz says that the Taz is not talking about the halachas of cutting down trees. The Taz is at the very end of a very unusual siman in Yoredei that talks about all the things that we find in Shas that we're supposed to avoid because of sakana. And there are a number of things. You might have heard about not leaving, eggs overnight, peeled eggs overnight, not to leave out garlic overnight, not to leave uncovered bottles of water overnight, all those things, not to have one of these is this, not to chop down a fruit tree because it's dangerous. What's the danger? I don't know. It's not a physical danger. It's a spiritual danger, whatever it is. I don't know. His son died because he chopped down a fruit tree. So while the Shulchan Aruch talks about that, the Taz says, this is something that the Gemara tells us, that somebody died as a sakana to chop down a fruit tree. And then he quotes the Rosh, but if you need the place, then it's mutter. But again, what does it mean that you need the place? Says the Taz, based on that Rosh that we just saw together, that when you need the location, it's mutter to chop down a tree. From there, I deduce the following. Umizeh. Hitarti le'echad shahilo karka imilanos, lakotz ha'ilanos afo pi sheish ben peres, kadei livnos beis dira alav. You want to build a house on it? Mutter. Okay. You're allowed to build a house if you don't have a house. Maybe if you do have a house, I don't know. You're allowed to build a house if you need to cut down the trees, you want to build a house, it's permitted to build a house. But that maybe is only a house. Maybe that's only because you don't have a place to live. Beis dira. So what are we going to do about things that are a little bit more optional? Not as necessary. So here, let's see a question that was asked to the Yavetz. The Yavetz is, of course, Yud Ayin Beis Tzadi. That's Yaakov Emdin Ben Tzvi. Yaakov Emdin, the son of his father Chacham Tzvi. His father Chacham Tzvi was the Gadol Hadar, among the Gadol Hadar. And his son was the Yavetz, was Yaakov Emdin, also among the Gadol Hadar. And the question that he was asked is a question that we could really appreciate. We have a shul on a property, and the shul is too small. We need to extend our shul. Beis HaKnesses Shalanu Katon Mehachil, from containing all the people. V'yeshala Hagdila, we can't extend the shul, Rak Mitzad Mizrach, only to the east. Let's say on the west side there was a street. You can't build out into the street, because there's a street, there's a sidewalk there. Well, from the back of the shul we could build out. Over Osu Tzad Gefenatua, and over there there's an olive vine there. Could we cut down this olive vine? You see clearly from the poskim that it's not just trees, but olive vines also are equally, if not even more chamer than other trees. Yorenu Marenu, please, Rebbe, please instruct us, Mr. Yaakov Emdin, Marenu Harav Yaakov Emdin, im yesh lahati lokutz eitz maichel b'shul hachavetz beis hakneses. Could we cut down this tree to extend our shul? Now, I want to show you what he says, because he's going to divide this tshuva into two parts, at least two parts. First, he says, as far as halacha is concerned, it's obvious as could be. Milsa depshitahi. It's more obvious than be'asa bekutcha, eating eggs with milk. I mean, just like everyone knows, you're allowed to eat eggs with milchiks. It's not considered fleishiks. It's so obvious. That's a Talmudic phrase of saying something's eminently obvious. Yosemi be'asa bekutcha, deshari. Why? Because the only reason you're not allowed to destroy is to destroy, cut down the fruit trees is in a way of destruction. But here it's the opposite, it's for construction. Lo ne'asar ketzitzas ilan maichel rak v'derach hashchasa, to destroy. Here you're not destroying, you're constructing. As the Gemara itself said, that if the trees are more valuable than the fruit, if the wood is more valuable than the fruit, then you're allowed to cut it down. So here we're not talking about using the wood, we're talking about the land area is more valuable because of its capacity to hold a shul, to have an extension of a shul, and that's much more valuable than the grapes that this vine is going to provide. And now he makes that stretch of how much do you need it? He quotes the Rosh saying, so too, if you need the location, it's mutter. Kal v'chomer me'ata l'gavoa u'ledvar mitzvah. If stam you need to build your bigger house, you're allowed to. Certainly, if it's for religious purposes, you're allowed to. That is the answer to the Yaivetz, but we didn't get up to the punchline yet. The Yaivetz then talks about a fascinating question, which we're really not going to get into, because if you look in Melachim, you see that when Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash, part of it was walnut wood. Walnut wood, right? I bet some of you have walnut furniture. Walnut furniture is great furniture. You know what else is good furniture? Cherry wood. Anyone here have cherry wood dining room table? Olive wood? You don't have any olive wood decorations in your house? How in the world do you have anything made out of olive wood? Anything made out of cherry wood? Anything made out of walnut? These are all fruit trees. And if they're fruit trees, you should not be permitted to use the wood. So if you say, okay, a guy cut it down and a guy built it into a desk or a chair or a dining room table, and I bought it in Macy's, so I didn't do any of that. Okay, but what if you're in Eretz Yisrael and the question is chopping down olive trees for the olive wood factory to get its olive wood so they could buy these little tchotchkes when you go visit Mea Sharim? There's Jews doing it, presumably. Okay, so the Yaakov Emden talks about how those psukim in Melachim have walnut wood in the Beis HaMikdash, but I'm sorry, olive wood trees, wood in the Beis HaMikdash. We're not going to go into there. What I do want to discuss is the very important question. Until now, all we mentioned is that according to Halacha, it's permitted. But what about the fact that there's this added dimension of sakana? Even if halachically we say the Torah's prohibition does not apply, and indeed it is mutter to cut down a cherry tree, or an apple tree, or a walnut tree, or an olive tree, but what about the sakana? Maybe even if it's mutter, the sakana is still there. Or no, on the other hand, why do you think it's a sakana? It's a sakana probably because it's aser. But maybe if it would be mutter, maybe the sakana also diffuses, and it becomes not a sakana either. Let me just tell you, illustrate what I'm trying to say in a different kind of way. There's a concept in halacha that food that's not kosher is metamte meshalev. Okay? Unkosher food is metamte meshalev. And that's why you have to be very careful, even with children, even with babies. You don't want them to have chas v'shalom, non-kosher food, ever. Whatever extent you're able to control, any child never having non-kosher food, because it's metamte meshalev, it stuffs up the heart, it makes a person intellectually less capable of understanding, I don't know what, Hashem, Torah, you know, things in life in general, I don't know. It's metamter slave. It ruins a person's brain. Don't eat non-kosher. I want to ask you the following. Let's say you have something non-kosher falls into your chalent. Less than shishim. So you had something non-kosher. Let's say you have a little bit of lard that, I don't know, your cleaning lady was, you know, eating some potato chips in the kitchen while she was helping you cook for Shabbos. And it fell into the chalent, and a tiny bit of her lard potato chips, you know, the potato chips that were cooked in lard oil, fell into your chalent, got mixed up all together, and you didn't realize till later. And one little potato chip in a big vat of chalent, okay, it's batel b'shishim, and the chalent is kosher. Lechatchil, you could eat the chalent. I have a question for you. Is it metamtem esalev? Do we say that it's the fact that it's aser and you're eating something that's aser, that's what's metamtem esalev? Or no? We have halacha. Halacha says mutter aser, and then there's this other supernatural existence called metamte mesalev, and if you have anything that's not kosher, then it's metamte mesalev, even if it is kosher. And that, conceptually, is the same issue that we have at hand in our shaila. If I tell you that halachically it's mutter to chop down a tree, does that mean that, therefore, there's no sakana? The sakana is premised on the fact that it's aser, but if it's mutter, then it's not sakana? Or do we say, no, these are two parallel tracks. There's one that's halach, is it mutter or aser? Okay, if it's aser, there's nothing to talk about. If it's mutter, then it's mutter. But even if it's mutter, there might still be this other issue of the fact that there's sakana. That's the question that Rav Yaakov Emden is going to discuss right now. After he says, it's clear and evident that you're allowed to chop down this fruit tree, because the need to extend your shul is greater than the value of those grapevines. However, we have to be medayik in this issue, because Rabbi Chanina said that his son died because he cut down the fig tree before its time. So now he asks, he makes an incredible diak. He makes the following diak. He said, and this is the diak that I mentioned to you before, when Rabbi Chanina said his son Shichvis died, his son Shvichis, whatever his name was, died, it said the way that Rabbi Chanina articulated that point was not just that my son cut a fruit tree and he died. He said, the only reason my son died was because he cut down a fruit tree. For the fact that he said the only reason he did it was only because Ela Mishum, the cuts, look at what I have on the board. Muchach devade chosid gadol haya. It sounds that he was a big tzaddik, shalom nimtza bo shuma, but he didn't have any averas. He just cut down a tree. It sounds, if there's an avera to cut down a tree, and he did an avera, I understand, he's a bal avera, he cut down a fruit tree, so of course he died, he did averas. No, it sounds like he didn't do averas, but he just cut down a fruit tree, meaning Rabbi Yaakov Endron is suggesting that it means that he didn't really violate a law. He didn't do it in a way that is prohibited, because if he did it in a way that's prohibited, so of course, if I say, my son died because he ate treif. Yeah, he ate treif, so he died. I understand. He's a bal avera. My son died because he broke Shabbos. Well, yeah, he broke Shabbos. He's a bal avera. It's possible he died. But if he said, my son only died because he cut down a fruit tree, it sounds like he's a tzaddik. He doesn't deserve to die. But still, there's this sakana dimension, the sakana component, and he died nevertheless, suggests Rav Yaakov Emden, that means that even though there was no iser whatsoever, he did not violate anything. It was permitted for him to cut it down. Still, there's this added dimension of sakana, even when it's not usur. Incredible. So you hear what Rabbi Yaakov Endron is saying? He says it must be that if he says, my son only died because of this, shalom avar al korchach lomar shalom avar al lav mamash. He didn't really violate any lav. Finally, devadai, there was a good reason for the son to cut down the tree. He had some good financial calculation, hayolo revach b'ktzitzas, who's got a profit from the wood, which is more valuable, shayim u'ula b'damav, or he needed the location, and therefore it was mutter, and nevertheless, his son still died, even though it was mutter, because I guess it wasn't the kind of thing that a chassid would do. And because of that, because he was a great tzaddik, and he cut it down, even though it was mutter, it's still, for somebody on his level, it wasn't the right thing to do, and therefore he was punished for that. Ne'na shal zeb emida k'negin mida, Shemes kodim zmana, just like he cut down the tree before its time to be cut down, so too he was cut down. Even though, of course, it would really be mutter halachically. That's what Rav Yaakov Emden says. If that's the case, we see something very, very limiting. We see that even if halacha tells us, even if the Rush told us, even if Rav Yaakov Emden just told us that you're allowed to cut down a fruit tree and it's mutter, and halachically it is permitted. If you ask the rabbi, they'll always say, mutter gummer. Still, somebody could die by doing so. I know many of you are familiar with Flatbush. And if you had anything to do with Flatbush, you knew about Landau's Shtiebel on Avenue L and East 9th Street. Well, if you remember a few years ago, before they rebuilt the building that they are now, they had a fire in the shul, and they built a temporary structure on the diagonal corner of Avenue L and East 8th Street, maybe 7th, I don't remember, East 7th or 8th and L, and they had a full corner property which was an open field, an open lawn, and in the middle of that lawn was an apple tree. And if you remember, for about 2 or 3 years, the Landau's Minion Factory building was, they put up a temporary structure in that open area, and they had a full Minion Factory. And if you ever passed through that during those 2 or 3 years while they were doing construction to rebuild the main shul, you'll remember that there was a full fruit tree that they did not touch. And they built the whole structure, a temporary structure that lasted for 3 years with air conditioning and with heating and with a whole Minyan factory. And of course, it's a Hasidic shtiebel, so there, of course, was a coffee room with a tree in the middle and a hole in the roof. And they called it the Eitz Chaim. The tree, right, the Eitz Chaim, because it was a living tree and they built everything around. They didn't want to touch it. Why not? Of course it's mutter. You're building a shul. The Riyak Kohen just said it's mutter. That's Mamash Riyak Kohen's Shaila. Mutter l'chadchila. You have thousands of people davening there every week. Thousands of tefillahs every week. It's the biggest manufacturer in all of Flatbush. But Riyak Kohen said that even if it's mutter entirely l'chadchila, it could still be a problem of sakana, God forbid. And therefore, you have to wonder about cutting it down. It might still be a sakana component. And therefore, comes Rabbi Yaakov Endin on the bottom line, and he says the following. Therefore, lefizeh benidon didan nami, afal pishein safik bedavar. It's clear halachically, shebechol ofen mutter, kan kanizkar. It's clearly mutter to cut down that tree, to build your extension of the shul. Definitely mutter to cut down the tree. However, l'ravcha de milsa, because we want to be clear of any sakana, my solution is two words. Yikutsenu goy. Have the goy chop it down for you. If you're worried that it's usser, it's usser. You can't ask a guy to do it either. But if it's not usser, you just are worried about the sakana, well, I have a good solution. Don't do it yourself. Get a guy to do it. I don't know if there's a sakana for a guy to chop down the tree. And this is indeed what I told our friend who lives in our neighborhood. I said, theoretically, you could chop down this tree that doesn't give enough fruit, that doesn't give a cob of cherries. It only gives 2-3 cherries a year. You could cut down that tree, but I'd be terrified to do it. That's a sakana. And therefore, what I said is, have the guy chop it down. In fact, the post can talk a little about it, even better than having the guy chop it down, is to sell it to the guy and let the guy chop down his own tree. How to sell it to the guy, we'll talk about that. But I want to finish off with one interesting point in the Chavos Yair. The Chavos Yair asks, what happens if I don't have a situation where my tree is in my way to build? My tree is not in the way because it's damaging something else, right? Sometimes you have a tree that the roots could break, literally break the pipes, and you could have thousands of dollars of pipe damage outside your house just because of the roots of a tree, okay? What happens if there's no damage? What happens if there's nothing bad, but it's right in front of my beautiful windows? I have a window, and I love looking out the window, and little by little, this fruit tree grew, and now I have a fruit tree that's obstructing the whole, you know, the whole view. It's not so pleasant looking at me if there's a hand covering my face. So are you allowed to cut down a fruit tree if it just obstructs the light, maybe it just makes it darker, or it takes away your line of vision? I'm just going to see some people asked a question. Give me a minute. 1 second. Hold on a minute. I'm just going to look at the questions before we see this point. Okay, somebody asked, what if it's not good fruit? Meaning, does the fruit have to be edible in order to be qualified as the 48 kazesim? When you say 48 kazesim, does it have to be edible fruit or just is fruit of 48 kazesim? That's a very good question, because I think I just saw this evening somebody who says that even if it's not good quality fruit, it's still aser. I think. I have to double check. I think even if it's not good quality fruit, it's still going to be aser because it still is fruit. That was one question. Now, Mr. Seif asked, what if the tree has some sort of treatable blight or disease? Right now, it might not be producing a lot of fruit, or the fruit is sons, but with intervention, the tree could produce more than the 48 eggs. Oh, the 24 eggs, the 48 kazesim, 48 olives. So if the fruit tree is right now not able to produce it, I don't think we're going to say, oh, since you could, you know, give it a refuah shleima and it will produce 48 kazesim, then it's, don't cut it down. I don't know. If it right now it doesn't cut down 48, if it right now if it doesn't produce the sufficient amount, I assume we treat it as it is now. That's what I would think. Somebody asked, what about trimming the tree? So trimming the tree, I actually did look this up for our person at hand, because again, he wanted to be able to fit more tables in his backyard for his event. And part of that could be achieved if the tree would be trimmed a little bit. He may be able to squeeze another table in that area where the branches were. So what the poskim said is that, why are you trimming it? Are you trimming it because you want to improve the tree? You're pruning it to improve the tree? Mutter gamer. You want to improve a fruit tree, so of course you're going to prune it to make it better. But if you're pruning it for your convenience, that will have the same parameters as cutting down a fruit tree for your benefit. If you're allowed to cut it down, so you could trim it. But that, because if it's for your benefits, then you have to figure out if you have a good reason to or not. So those are the limitations for trimming a tree. Trimming a tree will also be limited, just like cutting a tree down. Okay, Let's now go back to finish off with one little, this last point of the a new tshuva from Chavis Yair. And we'll finish with this point because he has a very important idea. You're asking a good question. You're saying it does improve the tree. Does that make it mutter, or do we look only at what your motivation is? It's almost like a shot of a psik resha. Like, I'm doing it, and the unintended consequence is that's going to be improved. I have to check what the poskim say. I'm sure they talk about it. I don't know the answer. It's a good question. I cut and pasted a tiny bit from the end. I cut out a little bit at the end. No, but in the next line he says, the next words, he's, I don't, I'm sorry, I don't understand what you're saying. And therefore it's mutter according to halacha, but there's still a sakana concern. He doesn't say that, and I don't think we have a source for that. So, like, you can have the greatest motivation. If there's a sakana, I don't think the fact that it's for religious purposes will take away that sakana. And I don't know. Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. But I'm pretty scared when we're talking about things of sakana. It's like saying, you know what it's like saying? I hear that, but we need a source for that. You know, what you're saying is the following. What you're saying is, like, I know you can't have fish and meat together because it's sakana, right? It's mutter, but it's a sakana. But if you're, you know, it's on Shabbos, then it's allowed. I mean, if you find me a source, that's true. But until you find me a source, I'll still be scared to do something that's dangerous because it's, even though it's mutter, it's dangerous. So if, unless you tell me it's not dangerous, it's dangerous. Okay, so let's finish off the shir with this one last shiloh. What happens if you have a tree that does not damage? I don't need the land. I don't need the location. I don't need to build anything better, but it's just obstructing my line or my light or my line of vision. Is that considered a mutter? Look at what the Chavis Yair paskins. Pasha Tishari. He says, anything that's your need is mutter. If you have a need, then it's mutter to chop down a tree for your need. For example, the case that we saw in the Gemara was that the tree, the fruit tree, was infringing on the flavor of one of the other trees. Well, let's think about it. When I was in kindergarten, I learned about five senses. One of them was taste, one of them was smell, and one of them was sight. Says Chavis Yair, why should the sense of taste be different than the sense of sight? If for the sense of taste, I don't want to ruin the taste of my fruit, other fruit, I could chop down a fruit tree. So certainly I should be able to chop down a fruit tree for my vision, the pleasure of my sight. Fascinating svar, isn't that? Look how he says it. D'mayshna maziko b'chush hatam o b'chush hara'iya. Why is it any different damaging somebody in the sense of flavor than the sense of sight? Koshuhain. I think people care more about how things look, how their house looks, what they see outside their window, than what their how much flavor of one plant injected in their other plant. It's a fabulous svara the Chavis Yair puts forth. But here he raises a point that somebody mentioned. I don't remember who mentioned. Somebody asked, "What about cutting? What about trimming?" I think it was Dr. Schuster. What about trimming? He says, "But you know what? If you can fix this tree just by trimming it, that's better than cutting it down." It's not really this. Trimming and chopping down is not on the same level.
If
If you could cut off just a few of the leaves, hama'afilim, from the word afela, that are darkening your window, and you don't have to chop it down entirely, even though what's going to happen is going to be annoying. Why is it annoying? Because in the next year, it's going to grow again and obstruct my vision. And the next year, I'll have to chop it down again. I'll have to trim it again. And the following year, it's going to obstruct my vision again. You know what? Says the Chavetz, sorry. If there is a sakana, and if there's a lotaseh, if there's for tircha, I'm not going to let you get rid of the tircha. Mishum tircha koldu, lo natir mashu sakane imlo have a doraisa. Just because it's not as a doraisa or it's not as concerning, tircha doesn't bother me. If you have to be torech, so be torech. That's not going to be a heter just because you don't want to have to go through this tircha. Do the tircha. You have to work a little harder. You work a little harder. So just trim it if you don't have to cut it down. And finally, we get to something that might be a little bit complicated. Let's come back to the original question. We're going to finish with this point. Somebody once asked me, can I cut down this tree because I want to make an event in my backyard? And I want to have more guests, more another table at the event. Can I ask you a question? How necessary is it? And let's say he has four fewer guests at this event. Instead of 150 people, he'll have 146 people. Or what would happen if he would have the same number of people, but he would have to put this table outside of the tent, and he wanted it inside the tent? Is that a need? Or is that a want? And is there a difference? So I told you that this specific tree happened to have fewer than, it wasn't considered a fruit tree. What if it was a fruit tree? Is there a need? If you just want to have an event with a tent and be able to have as many people as you can, look at what he finished, what the Chavetz Chaim finishes, and this will be the last point. Venirli, that which the Rosh says, that the Tzorach Makom, you're allowed to cut something down, Masha Kaza Harash Lahat the Tzorach Makom, that's, for example, because you want to build there, or you want to build something that's necessary, maybe even a porch, I could argue. You need a porch on the back of your house, so I could hear that. But if you just want to make something nice, you just want the backyard to look nicer, you're making a one-day event and you want to have an extra table at the event, that's not called a need. Masha kosa laharchiv chatzero, you want to just expand your backyard, you want to clear out the trees, make it, you know, sometimes people have foresty backyards, they want to just clear everything out to make it pretty. I don't know if that's a need. It's not building a house. L'tzorach tiyul v'tosefes or v'revach b'alma. I don't know if that's called a need. If it doesn't have enough fruit, okay, it's not a fruit tree. But if it's a real fruit tree, and the only heter you have is that, oh, I need the space, well, need is defined by need, not by want. If it would look prettier, your wife says, oh, I think it would be so nice if we had empty grass, if we'd have like a, you know, a grassy open area, than if it was more like foresty, that's not a fair reason to chop down a fruit tree. And Rabosai, I'm going to leave you with this. Let's say you have a backyard and you want to build a basketball court. Do you have a heter? And it's a real fruit tree with enough fruit that make it a fruit tree. Do you have a heter to cut down the fruit tree to build the basketball court? Is that going to be like, I want to build a house, I want to build something there? Or is that just, I want to enjoy the backyard more, just like a teal? Teal means just for your own pleasure. I don't know. It could be that according to this Chavetz Yair, if it's just to build a basketball court, maybe I'm not going to cut down a fruit tree. If I want to build a house, an extension, an add-on, maybe even a porch. But because I want to have a basketball court, does that make it that I'm enough in need that I could cut down a fruit tree? That's a good question. That remains to be analyzed if a basketball court is sufficient. Okay, so I want to stop here. You're right. I hear what you're saying. You're saying, let's say there's in my backyard, I have an apple tree, a peach tree, and it gives off $20 worth of apples. The value of me having a basketball court in my backyard for a year is much, 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 much more than $20 of peaches or fruit that this apple tree gives off. You're making a very good point. You're making a good point. Yeah, I like your svara. Your svara is a good svara. Maybe he's not considering the basket playing. Again, he's not talking about playing basketball. Maybe he's not considering this just the harchiv chatzeru v'tosefet or v'revach as having a financial number attached to it. It's just like an emotion. A house, you need to build a house. Okay. But you just want it to look nicer, that's not. You're asking, maybe a basketball court is more like building something there that has an essential value. You're saying a good svara. Maybe you're right. I'm not gonna paskin yes or no. I'm just pointing out that the Chavis Yair is very precisely raising the issue that just because you want to do stuff there, that doesn't mean it's a real need that warrants chopping down a tree. But you're right, if it does create a greater value, because a basketball court is worth more than whatever amount of fruits are growing on this tree a year, I hear your svar very strongly. Yeah, doctor. I hear, yeah, you're making a good point. You're saying that when we said it's mutter, it's because the wood is worth more than the fruit. But I think what's the svara there? You're saying you're right, and as opposed to here, I'm comparing the fruit to the benefit of the basketball court. You're saying it's not the same comparison or contrast. But I think the lumdus is that we don't want it to be destructive. We don't want it to be hashchasa. So in the same way, if the wood is more valuable than the fruit, it's not called hashchasa. I think the Chaz is suggesting that the basketball court makes it that it's not considered a hashchasa because I'm benefiting the value of a basketball court greater than the fruit. I hear you say. You're saying it's not a perfect comparison, and you're right. You're right. But I think the svara might, of the Chazan svara, might still be a good svara. Okay? So I want to thank you all for joining us. Thanks, Dr. Pinter, Mr. Davies, and the Chazan, and Mrs. Lieben, Barry, and Yankee, and Mr. Gold, and Yossi, and my mother. I'm happy to have you here, and Safrir and Dr. Corman and the Seifs and the Rocklands and the Weisses and the Seligsons.